wonderful guy, and it's been a joy to get to know him. I first met Ken through his wife. His wife, on occasion, and they invited us to their Bible study, and it's just been a blessing to get to know Ken. Ken also serves as the park chaplain for Colonel Dunning, Dogwood Acres, and am I missing? Okay. But it's just, I hear about Ken through other people that go camping and say, wow, this guy named Ken did a great job. And I'm like, hey, I know that guy. He's pretty great. So I just like to warmly welcome him and pray that the Spirit would anoint him powerfully to speak to us this morning.
We're going to hear a little bit about that today. But it's kind of amazing when, thank you, Pastor Joe, when Pastor Joe invited me here to give a message to you, and more that you're going to have a testimony this morning on how we should be and how we should live, and why we make choices in our lives that aren't too wise. And I'm glad some younger people are here because they need to hear some of this from people that lived it. But I want to start off by saying what Joe mentioned about being a likable pastor. When you do this covenant with him, don't do it because you like him. Do it because Pastor Joe brings you the word, the truth of the word, not a watered-down word, and that he shepherds you as his flock. That's what you look at when you come into covenant with Joe. I sat here with you last weekend to get an example of your worship service and that, and what a message the pastor brought, and how it ties in with what I'm going to talk about today. And I gave Jess, I think I emailed you what I was going to talk about weeks before last Sunday. But isn't God so wise that he brings us at the appropriate time in place all the time, even when we turn our backs on him? I'm going to read the passage out of Matthew this morning, and you all recognize it. It's out of Matthew 5, verses 14 to 16. Pastor Joe said he's been talking to you in his messages about the gifts of the Spirit and how they embody in us and through us to others. And he said he's going to get to the point of talking about the fruits of the Spirit. And I'm going to combine a little bit of that in the message this morning. And I'm not going to take his thunder away, but how we can detract from it and how we can give to it. The word of the Lord. You are the light of the world. You. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. So often we read these and look about light, and we forget the last part of that, who it's to glorify and who it's to honor. And I'm going to tell you a little story about a young man I knew in his life. But before that, let's look at the light. And one thing, as I was studying and reviewing my notes yesterday, the world likes to dim the light of our God. And it says here, do not put it under a basket. Brothers and sisters, look around you. Look at these four walls, the floor, and the ceiling. This is the basket the world wants you to be in. This is where they want the light to shine and only shine. This isn't the church. You are the church. You are the body of Christ, the hands, the feet, to take out where you go and to minister to who God brings into your realm of influence. That's the church. So I'm going to tell you a little story today of a young sailor I knew. Joe didn't tell you my history. I graduated high school and I went in the Navy. I did 34 years in the Navy. But I want to tell you a story about a young sailor. He grew up in the church. His grandfather was a minister. He retired a minister. He was raised in the church. Spent every Sunday in the church. When it came to catechism and confirming his faith, he did it around the age of 14, 15 years old. God gave this young man some specific gifts. One, he gave him a gift of a mindset and hands that could make parts. That could take a piece of steel and put it on a lathe or a mill or a grinder and make parts with it to work. He gave him a mind of math and metallurgy that he could get things done. This young man, when he's going through high school, took his trade school. And then he wanted to see the world. Now he had everything going for him. He had a good life. He wasn't poor. His family wasn't poor. We weren't rich. But he had a good life. He was a baseball star growing up. He even tried out for the Orioles one time, and he missed it by a couple seconds throw down from home plate to second base. This young man had it all, but it was based in faith in God. And then he wanted to see the world. In other words, he had this trade that he could go out and make money at. A good money as a machinist in this world. But he wanted to get away from home. He wanted to see the world. So one time, about mid-senior year, he goes into a Navy recruiting office, sits down. He tells the recruiter what his desires are, and the recruiter looked at him and said, well, if you score high enough on the ASVAB, you can have whatever you want. Well, a week later, he took the test. That weekend, he saw the recruiter, and he scored high enough to literally have whatever he wanted to do. So this young man enlisted in the Navy without talking to anyone. Never mentioned it to his parents. Never mentioned it to his brother or sister. No one. No friends or nothing. He just wanted to escape. And I think a lot of you, if you reflect back on your lives, you've been in that situation. So he graduated. A month later, he went to boot camp. This young man was given a couple other gifts, and one's the gifts of leadership and the dealing with people. When he got to boot camp, he was put in his company, and he was made squad leader. And unknowns to this individual, he thought it was for his abilities. The only reason he was made squad leader, I found out later, was because he was tall. And everyone in the line could see him. But just imagine a young man, 18 years old, everything going for him. Given a leadership position in boot camp, just starting out his Navy career. And he excels through boot camp. Graduates boot camp. And he is advanced meritoriously to the next pay grade. Now just this is where it starts. Just imagine a young man starting out in the world and he's getting an automatic advancement for nothing that he's done. But he's getting advanced. Goes to his first duty station, Naval Air Station, Oceana, Virginia. After his A school. And the only reason he goes to a shore station after A school is because he scored highest in his class going through his A school. It was kind of easy for this young man because he's already studied and went through it in a trade school while he was going through high school. So now just get in your minds now an individual that's head is just expanding. The one bad thing this young man did that started this track was he stopped going to church. And when he stopped going to church, eventually he stopped reading scripture. When he stopped reading the Bible, eventually he stopped praying. And I wanted to set that in this point. Because in the next 7 years, this young man excelled in his Navy career. Every place he went, every job he was given, he excelled in. He excelled so much that the commanding officers of the bases he was on would come to him. Naval Air Station Oceana, this young man came up with a couple procedures that saved the Navy millions of dollars because they were getting rid of aircraft engines needlessly because screws were breaking off in the engines and they just junked them. And I went, you know who it is now, right? You should have known when I said he was tall. And I went to the CO and I said, this is ridiculous, the CO of the base. I said, the reason these screws are breaking off is because of the impact when the jets are landing. It's not because the screws are seized. And he said, well, what do you think you can do to fix it? Now, this is as simple the procedure was to fix it. I said, grind a drill bit, reverse, and drill into the screw and it'll back out. And they all did. Just a simple procedure and a simple thought that God gave this young man. But the young man didn't see God in the picture. The young man saw Ken. This young man started to get his pride into his work. 1 John 2:15, 16 states, do not love the world nor the things in the world. This young man was beginning to love the world. He was beginning to love the accolades that he was getting and not giving any credit to God. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the desires, and the lust of the eyes, the things we see that we desire, and the boastful pride of life that this young man was starting into. It's not from the Father, but it's from the world. You see, the world likes me to be that way. The world wanted me to be that way because it takes away the light of God from the world. And I'm supposed to be the light of God in the world. Well, all through the next 7.5 years of his career, this young man excelled. He made every advancement on time, and he made E7, Chief Petty Officer, in 7.5 years. The normal time to make chief in the Navy is 12 years. And this young man was promoted to that pay grade in 7.5 years. You can imagine living a life that he lived. He saw the world. He saw it 3 times. But he saw it in the light of the flesh. And brothers and sisters, if you've never saw it, it's a darkness in the world. That's why we are to be the light of the world. Like the pastor told you last Sunday, we aren't exempt from the world. We live in the same tribulations that the world goes through. But let me warn us of one thing. We are to coexist with everyone in the world, but we are not to become like them. This young man became like them. And being come like them, to be likable, to fit in, it's not who we are. And it can lead you to an awful dark place. Living a life like this will bring our deeds to the flesh. And those are pretty evident, as Pastor Joe will get to you when he talks about the fruits of the Spirit. I hope he talks about the other things. Because this is what it brings to you. And this is what it brought to Ken. Immorality. Now, immorality can take a lot of things in life. But it takes away the impurity of God in your life. The purity of God, because it goes to impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envy and drunkenness, and carousing. You'll find these in Galatians 5. Now, you may not experience all these, and Ken didn't experience all these, but I can tell you he experienced a lot of them. He got jealous of others because he wanted to be that one at the top. He didn't want anyone else to be there with him. And he would gossip about other sailors. He would tell on other sailors to knock them down, to make sure they weren't there. Then one day, around the 15th year mark, and from the 7.5 year when he made chief until God turned him around, those next 10 to 12 years weren't filled with joy. Now, he still succeeded. But he succeeded in what I just told you about, in the ways we shouldn't be acting, in the deeds of the world. And he succeeded not in a luxury, but with trials, torments. And he was put in situations that God was trying to wake him up. But he didn't wake up because he enjoyed the darkness. He enjoyed where he was. Brothers and sisters, I hope you never enjoy the dark parts of life. Then one day around his 15th year, eventually he started waking up a little bit. He started going to church again. He found a local church down in Louisiana, Belchase, Louisiana, and he started attending there. And somewhere around the 15th and 16th year, he started really getting active in the church. In other words, the pastor saw something in him. So he started teaching Bible school, Bible studies at the church. And then, I think it was about the 17th or 18th year that I was in the Navy, I had to make a decision. As an E7, my pay grade, I could only do 20 years in the service. So I had to make a decision on what this young man wanted to do when he retired. Well, I was thinking that I could go back out and I can, you know, make some parts in a production shop or that, be a tool and die maker. And then one day, a thought came to mind. Well, you know, my grandfather was a minister. My dad studied to be a minister. I said, why don't I go into the ministry? I'm doing really well doing Bible studies and that. I'm getting back into reading the Bible. So I sat down and I talked to the pastor and the district superintendent of the Methodist church I was attending. And said, I think I want to be a pastor when I retire. So this young man started the procedures for being a local pastor in a Methodist church. He even, after a hurricane down there, he even stood in for a church that was blown apart. And they were meeting in a barn. And stood in for it for 6 months while he's active duty, being their pastor, and doing the messages and doing the services for them while they got another pastor in and got a church built. So he was high again. His mind was really going. I said, oh man, I found it. But he found it for the wrong reasons. So he had a dilemma. Well, part of the dilemma is, as you start the procedure to be a local pastor in a Methodist church, you have to do a service like this, from beginning to end, in front of the district superintendent and the pastor. So we had this all set up, and this young man brings the message in and has copies of it, gives it to both the pastor and the district superintendent. And you can almost guess what happened. You see, God has a funny way with people. We can refuse him and refuse him, but if he wants his will done, he will wake you up. The service was going really well, as you do this morning. You know, you worship in music. And I don't know who did the music today, but it was ideal for this message. We did the prayers of praise and what we needed, our desires and wants, our healings. We got up to everything and I started the message. And God blinded this young man. Now, he didn't literally blind me. I could look up just as I do now and I can see everyone. But when I looked down here, there was nothing. It was just black. And I looked up and I could see that. And you could just imagine my mind and what I was feeling. Sweating bullets. I looked down and it was black. Now it seemed like an hour. I mean, it seemed like an hour passed, but it was only seconds. And I don't know what happened at that time point. I can't explain it, but I just started talking. And I gave the message. Nothing that was on those papers I gave the pastor and the district superintendent. You can imagine how the conversation went after the service. Because after the message, everything was normal and we ended the service normally. And then I sat down with the DS and the pastor. And he said, "What went wrong, Ken?" I said, "Nothing." I was embarrassed. I didn't want to admit what went wrong. And they taunted me a little and said, "Ken, something went wrong." I said, "Yeah, I couldn't see the words on the paper." I said, "I could see you all. But when I looked down, I was blind. I couldn't see what was in front of me, but when I looked up, I saw all the people." And both of them looked at me and says, "Ken, you did an excellent job on the message." I said, "I don't know how." And I don't even really understand what I said in that message. And the pastor looks at me and said, "God was talking through you, Ken, not you. He wants you to wake up." A lot of us find ourselves in places like that in this life, that God is trying to get us to wake up. And then during that week, I had a meeting with the pastor, and he said, "Ken," he said, "you know, you really do a good job. You really do a good job in your messages. They're from Scripture. You don't flower the message." He said, "But I don't think God wants you to be in a pastoral role. I don't think God wants you in a church role. He wants you in uniform." Now, this young man knows within a year he has to retire. He can't go on anymore. That weekend, my dad called me. My dad and I weren't as close as we were until the end of his life because of the jealousy I had between me and my brother and him. My brother was 5 years younger than I. My brother got everything in life, and I got nothing. And I blame my dad for that. And I think this is one of the points that God was trying to get our relationship back together. But he called me up and says, "Ken," he says, "I love you, son." He says, "I know you want to be a pastor." He says, "But I've been praying and God doesn't want you to be one. Not now. He wants you to stay in uniform." And I laughed at him. I said, "Dad, you don't know what you're talking about. I have to retire." Well, I had to call him back a year later and apologize to him because God did know what he was talking about, and I didn't. 2 months after that, the E8 board convened, and I was selected for E8. First time up for E9, I was selected for E9. It wasn't Ken's doing, and it wasn't anything that Ken could do. It was God doing in me. You see, God wanted to use me, yes. God wanted that light to shine, but I put it in a box. Someone told me that, you know, sometimes we put God in a box. I don't believe that saying because I don't believe we can put God in a box. We put ourselves in the box and we shield ourselves from the light. In other words, we want our light to shine. Ken wanted noticed. Ken wanted the accolades. Ken enjoyed it when he was getting the awards. And God got nothing. God knew that. But he gave me time until the day he wanted to turn me around. That's when he blinded me. That's when he humiliated me. And I had to humble myself in front of the pastor. I had to humble myself in front of the congregation. And I had to humble myself in front of my family. Ken was wrong. Ken was wrong for a lot of years. Now in Daniel chapter 4, verse 37, it says, "Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise, exalt, and honor the King of heaven. For all his works are true and his ways just. And he is able to humble those who walk in pride." He humbled me very hard that day. But God didn't stop with my life until I got the message. And I got it very abruptly. What changed in my life after that? Let's look at James 4:10. "Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord and he will exalt you." I thought I was always exalted in my work. And that's the thing. I was always exalted. He exalts me so my light can shine. And my light is the Holy Spirit that lives in me. And his desire is to do God's will so he gets the glory, not me. To conclude the story, as you see me now where I am, a humble man who will never take credit for anything on his own. And I think my wife can attest to that. I know where the power comes from. I know whose light it is to shine. And to give you an example of what God can do to a basic individual who has no education other than high school, you just give him certain gifts to use that he may be glorified, and I used them wrong. But he didn't give up on me, and he won't give up on anyone. And that's why we're to be a light in the world to those that are lost to this truth. After this, God took this young man and put him in positions of leading not 20 or 30 in a machine shop. But you all remember when we went to war with Iraq and Afghanistan? This young man was sent down to Williamsburg, Virginia to be the command master chief for the senior enlisted of the Navy's cargo handlers, the ones that run the ships and provide cargo for all the forces around the world. So he took this young man from being a leader of 20 or 30 people to being a leader of 6,000. And he didn't stop there. He didn't stop there because this young man made a turnaround. It's because he gave all the credit to God. This young man started an email list because when he went to that command, he had other master chiefs that were under him that were in charge of all the troops around the world. So he started an email to all the master chiefs that fell under him. And I called it Leadership of the Mess. And I quoted scripture. And after I quoted scripture, I quoted how I expected them to lead their commands as senior enlisted. And you're thinking to yourself, boy, in the military, he's doing this? Yeah, it led to trouble. It even led this young man to be faced with a court-martial. But God wins. You see, and I didn't even know it at the time, what God was doing, but I never used the name Jesus. I used God. The big G God. You know the difference between big G and small G gods. And when he was faced with this, the lawyer said, you can't take him to court martial because he didn't say who's God. Now, everyone knew the scripture I wrote in my emails. But it's amazing how God works. And God used this man to go from that 6,000 to the last tour he had with a 3-star admiral, over 65,000 people. By the time he got to that command, his email list was so big that he had to split it up because the officers wanted a part of it. The light of God was shining. Even in the disparity of war, even in the darkest time in this world, his light was shining through this young man because this young man was humiliated enough to give his life totally to God again. And never to lose that light. Brothers and sisters, that can happen whether you're a teenager coming out of high school or whether you're a young pastor going through your studies or whether you're old like me. Pride can set in if we lose focus on whose we are and whom we are supposed to represent in this world. This world, as was explained last week, is a dark world. It'll always be a dark world because of sin. When Adam and Eve fell, it's going to be a dark world. Never to be light again except through his children, you and I, until Christ comes back. And he is coming back. And I hope you realize that light that shines in you and me now is just a flicker of what Christ is going to be like. You're not going to need the sun or moon or anything to light. Christ's light will shine the world up. Scriptures tell us that. Brothers and sisters, you can have that today. And my prayer today is, don't put it in a basket like this guy did. Don't keep it within four walls like many churches do today. They want to come here and shine the light together and commune, and we should. But we don't want to take it out those doors because we want to fit in. And the last thing I want to say to conclude the message today, have y'all ever seen that coexist bumper sticker? Do you believe it? You know, this young man's been around the world 4 times. 3 in his own and 1 for God. You cannot coexist. It doesn't exist. You co-inhabit this world, but you don't coexist. You know what you have to do to coexist? And I've seen all the religions out there. I've talked to them personally in their lands. You know what? You have to coexist in this world. If you want to say Christians coexist, you have to give up Christ. And I don't mean you have to give up Christ and who he was. Because almost all the religions out there believe in he was a prophet. He was an important prophet, a very important man. But if you want to coexist with those in the world, with the other religions, you have to give up his deity. Because none of them believes he is the Son of God. There is only one God, the triune God. Nothing else is equal to or greater than our God. My wife had a conversation the other day with a Bible school class about can Satan read our minds? And the answer is no. He can give you thoughts. He can entice you because he knows our humanness. But he cannot read your mind. He's not omniscient. No, he's not omnipresent. He is not God. He is a created being. He is an angel. And a fallen angel at that. Don't ever give anything in this life. And the point is, don't ever give anything in this life the importance of God. Even ourselves. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much to allow me to come here, and as hard as it is, when you call me to do it, is give my testimony. But Father, if it just touches one of these young people here today, or anyone here sitting that can relay it to someone else, I give you the glory and praise for that. I thank you for turning my life around. I ask your blessing on Pastor Joe and this congregation. Father, just enlighten them on who and what your light is all about, that they may take it into the world. And that seed of that light that's in their life can be passed on. Father, we give you all the glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Frank. Let's see if I can project my voice as well. Thank you for sharing your testimony with us this morning. Ken, his wife Kathy, and their friend Jess, who is a daughter of someone else I work with at Sailors. I can't get away from Sailors. No one gets away from Sailors. They're going on a missions trip to New Mexico. When do you leave?
Saturday.
And they're going to paint for Navajo. Yeah, there we go. Still a little foggy this morning, but they're going to paint for the Navajo. And they asked that if we would pray over them as a sending of blessing upon them as they go, particularly around the area of spiritual protection. One of the things that people who go to serve in that area, the locals will attempt to kind of place spiritual bad omens or curses, if you will, upon those that come to work. That is an act of evil and the demonic, not that the people are, but that they have been influenced by the wrong things. So we are going to pray that God would be with them and protect them, and that he would send them in his power to glorify him. So I'd like to invite Ken, Kathy, and Jess up. And if you're comfortable, come on up too. We'll surround them in prayer. If not, just extend your hands from your seats as we pray prayer, blessing, and sending over them. Come back here. I will open, and then as you feel led, you can pray. And then, Jess, would you close? My Jess, sorry. All right, let's pray together. Dear Lord, we praise you for your word this morning. How you inspired us to be the light, to not hide our light, to glorify you in all we do. And as we think of our dear friends, Kathy, Ken, and Jess, who are going to New Mexico in just a few short days, Lord, we pray that they would be the light, that they would recognize that, God, you are there, but you are going to use them to reflect your light and your glory. So we pray especially for their travels. May you be the God who goes before them. May you be the God that watches over them, that the sun might not harm them by day, nor the moon by night, that you wouldn't let their foot slip as they travel, Lord. that you would watch their coming and their going both now and forevermore. And we pray, Holy Spirit, for a special hedge of protection. There is evil in this world. There's darkness in this world that tries to snuff out the light. We pray that you would protect them. We pray that you would equip them to dismantle the darkness they encounter, to bring your light. I pray that someone that might come to do harm against them would face Jesus and be forever changed. I pray that you would use this opportunity to build your kingdom, that this wouldn't be a battle against darkness, but a battle for the kingdom of light, a battle where you turn what we think of bad guys into good guys. That, as Isaac once said, there's not bad guys and good guys, there's only guys and girls who haven't met Jesus yet. So I pray that through them, someone might come to know you in their service this week. Church, would we all stand up to hear this blessing? Jesus Christ came into the world to be the light. We exist as children of God and children of the light. But as we think about ourselves this week, may we be reflectors of the light, recognizing that it is our job not to try to force the light out of ourselves as if we could produce something on our own merit, but to reflect the light and love of God in every interaction we have. So church, go into the world and be the light. Go in peace.